Harmer & Main, the makers of the Lansing Disposable Razor, bring you Duffy's Tavern. Before we walk through the doors of that fine establishment to visit Archie and friends, let me tell you about Lansing Disposable Razors. Men, for a closer shave, you can't do any better than Lansing with its patented 10-bladed razor system. Each blade gently lifts the stubble from the face for a closer shave anywhere. Yes, your wife will certainly appreciate that smooth as a baby's bottom skin when you use Lansing, and you won't have to worry about that dreaded 5 o'clock shadow at 9 o'clock. So, head to your nearest supermarket and purchase a pack of Lansing Disposable Razors. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you Duffy's Tavern.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern, where the elite meet to eat. Archie the manager speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. Oh, nothing much. A letter carrier was just in. Delivered a stack of poison pen letters. Yeah, bills. Well, so much for the bulk of the mail. Now for the complaints. There's a letter here from the Department of Sanitation. Yeah, they say we'll have to do something about the garbage, Duffy. Yeah, they claim it ate a hole through the bottom of their truck. Look, I'll call you back. What else we got, Eddie?
Well, we got a personal letter to you from the finance company.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they say if you don't settle up right away, they're gonna throw you in jail.
Oh, yeah? What else they say?
I don't know. I ain't opened it yet.
Them finance companies. When you first go to them, they're as sweet as pie. Just overlook a couple of years' payments and you find out their real character. Hey, wait a minute. Look at here. It's a letter from the Ritz-Carlton. Who do I know that lives in the Ritz-Carlton? Now, let's see. Dear Archie, I haven't seen you since our old days at PS4, but have often thought about you. Many's the time I think about our old class motto, sic and hoc, transit hospice.
What does that mean?
Nothing, it's Latin. We'll be down to see you at the tavern tonight. Signed, your old classmate, Willie Gundig. Willie Gundig. I wonder if I'll recognize him. It's been such a long time since I was in school.
Yeah, and you were there such a short time.
Willie Gundig. Living at the Ritz-Carlton.
Good friend of yours?
Well, no. Him and me never hit it off too good, Eddie. He was always rubbing it in because he got better marks than me. I happen to know it's because he cheated.
Cheated?
Yeah, he studied. Living at the Ritz-Carlton. I never could stand that guy. He always thought he was such a big shot just because his old man owned his own push cart. Always walking around with his nose in the air like he was smelling something bad.
Hello, Arch!
Hello, Finnegan. Ah, Finnegan, guess who I just got a letter from?
General Smut?
No.
Well, I give up then. Well, Archie, can you give me a clue?
Well, okay. He was in PS4 with us, and his initials are WG.
George Washington?
Wrong again, Finnegan. It's Willie Gundig.
Willie Gundig.
You remember the guy that was always being punished for putting the girls' hair into the ink wells? And tying cans on dogs' tails? And putting tacks on the teacher's chair?
Yeah.
Well, Willie Gundig was the guy that always squealed on me.
Oh, that Willie Gundig.
Yeah. The guy the yearbook said was the most likely to succeed. Hey, wait a minute. I wonder if I still got that yearbook here in the safe.
Good old PS... PS...
Four.
Four. What a wonderful school, Eddie. What memories it brings back.
Those were the good old days, huh?
Yeah, they don't make days like that no more.
Well, here we are, Finnegan, our old yearbook. Hey, look at this picture here. Remember these guys?
No.
No?
No, that was the graduating class.
Yeah, but look at them, huh? What a tough bunch of kids that was.
Really tough, huh?
Eddie, we used to eat the apples and bring the teacher the worms. If there was any kid in PS4 that didn't have a broken nose, it was either the principal or a new pupil.
How come the kids are standing around their short sleeves with all that snow on the ground?
Eddie, that ain't snow. That's teeth.
Tell me something. Who's the girl on the end with the black eye?
The teacher. Hey, wait a minute. Here he is.
Who?
That jerk, that Willie Gundig.
Let's see. Well, it says here he was voted the student most likely to succeed.
Yeah.
Well, where's your picture, Mr. Archie?
Huh? Oh, somewhere there. Hardly worth looking for, though. It was a very bad picture.
Hey, wait a minute. Here it is, Arch, on the next page.
Anybody want to see pictures of the girls' volleyball team?
No, we want to see your picture.
Well, here it is.
Mr. Archie, your thumb?
What about it?
It's covering up what you was most likely to do the rest of your life.
Sorry.
Archie, the man most likely to be a failure.
Must have been a misprint.
I don't know. Willie Gundig's living at the Ritz-Carlton.
You know, I was just thinking, I bet you that Willie Gundig himself wrote them most likely twos there. He was always jealous, you know, because of me and Alice Vanderwater.
Alice Vanderwater?
Yeah, the prettiest girl in the school.
Oh, yeah, I remember her, Arch. The tall, skinny, bull-legged dame with the buck teeth.
Okay, so she was the second prettiest girl in the school.
Oh, funny thing. I just ran into Alice Vanderwater the other day on Avenue A.
Oh, really, Miss Duffy? Yeah, is she married?
Yeah, she married Elma Zenton.
Elma Zenton, huh?
Yeah, and guess what? They got 15 kids.
15 kids, huh?
Yeah, but I don't think she's very happy.
Tell me, why?
She says she can't stand Elma.
Hey, wait a minute, Arch. Ain't this my picture?
Where? Oh, yeah. Finnegan, what was you doing with the debating team?
Boss, what do you think they was debating about?
Hey, wait a minute. Here's one that brings back old memories. The old baseball team. Hey, we sure had a great baseball team that year, didn't we, Finnegan?
Boy, I'll say. Look, there's Lefty Schultz, the first baseman.
Yeah, and Lefty Ryan, the shortstop.
Yeah, and Lefty McMahon, the catcher. Lefty Shapiro, the center fielder.
And Georgie Baker, the third baseman.
Baker? How come he wasn't left-handed?
He was. We just ran out of nicknames. Ah, by the way, Finnegan, tell Eddie who was the star of that team.
No, you tell him, Archie.
Well, I don't like to brag.
Oh, come on, Lefty, tell me.
Well, Eddie, I'll never forget the day we played PS6 for the Division C Championship. Get this, Eddie. Get the drama. I'm pitching for PS4, see? It's the ninth inning. There's two outs and the bases are loaded, see? Up to the plate comes home run Figgenbaum, the heaviest hitter in PS6. So I give him a cool look in the eye for a couple of minutes, and I start my windup, see? Eddie, I threw three straight strikes at him, and the guy never got his bat off his shoulder. I'm telling you, the crowd went nuts.
I guess that won the game for PS4, huh?
Not exactly. They nosed us out 43-0. All on account of that Willie Gundig dropping that high fly in the second inning. The guy most likely to succeed. It happens a lot of other guys from PS4 succeeded, too.
Oh, Archie, quit bragging. You know the PS4 turned out nothing but bums.
Oh, yeah? What about Al Peters, for instance?
Who's he?
Only the chief herring salter at the Fulton Fish Market. And what about Henry Sharp?
Another success?
Merely the head of the will call department at Feinberg's Tiny Tots Toddlery Shop. And what about Gus Christopoulos, the famous television actor?
The famous television actor.
Ain't lost a fall in 15 straight bouts. And they pick Willie Gundig as the most likely to succeed. Now look, when Willie Gundig gets here, what can I do to impress him that I am also a big success?
You could hide. You know, Arch, you sound like you're sore at Willie Gundig.
Me? Sore? Why? Just because he's living at the Ritz-Carlton? I'm glad he's a success. Good luck to him. But don't give him too much credit. Don't forget, success is all in the breaks.
What do you mean it's all in the breaks?
Well, take me. 9 years ago when I answered Duffy's ad for a busboy.
What about it?
If I'd have looked 2 inches to the left, I'd have seen that ad for a suspension bridge engineer.
What do you know about being a suspension engineer?
What did I know about being a busboy? That's what I say. It's all in the breaks. Now look, Eddie, when Willie gets here, I want you to bear me out in one little white lie, huh?
What's the white lie?
I'm gonna tell him I'm a millionaire.
Then how are you gonna explain to him that you're working as a bartender?
I'm eccentric.
Yeah, but them clothes. How are you gonna explain all them spots?
Money stains. Wait a minute. Why couldn't I have my stockbroker come in and tell me what a fortune I just made, huh?
And who's gonna be the stockbroker?
Well, let me see. Who else? Eddie, I know what you're thinking, but who else is there? Now look, Finnegan, when Willie Gundy gets here, I want you to tell him you're a big stockbroker from Wall Street, see?
What's Wall Street?
Well, it's sort of an unsocial pyramid club.
Well, Arch, if I'm gonna be a broker, shouldn't I know something about stocks?
Believe me, you know as much about them as anybody. But just in case, I'll try to explain to you quickly how the market works.
Oh, yeah?
You see, the dollar, or as it was originally known, the wampum, was used as barter until the gold standard came in, see? Now, this change didn't take place just overnight. It took many years of civilization for the dollar to get up to the little value that it has today. Now, to continue, as you probably know...
Arch, let's not take anything for granted.
Okay, as you probably don't know...
That's better.
All business is based on money, you see? Now, when you have money, it's called capital. When you're trying to get it, it's called labor. This is what they call the Dow Jones averages. In other words, when you buy stocks and they go up, you get a seat on the stock exchange, see?
Okay, but... what happens if the stocks go down?
Then you lose your seat.
But Arch, if you lose your seat, where do you sit?
You sit on that thing that's called the curve. Any further questions?
Yeah.
What?
How can I be a stockbroker when I can only count up to 10?
With stocks the way they are today, you don't have to count any higher. That is, unless you happen to be Willie Gundig. He'll probably come rolling down here in a big car and out... Hey, wait a minute. A big car. Hey, Eddie, call Mutual 95000.
Who's that? The laughing Lithuanian or the chuckling Czech?
Eddie, quit making up names. Now give me the phone. Hello? I'd like to talk to Nick, please. Yes, the giggling Greek. Hello, Nick? This is Archie from Duffy's Tavern. Send over a Cadillac limousine, will you? The money? Look, Nick, if I buy the car, you'll get the money, okay? Eddie, I don't think that car will look right standing outside the tavern without a chauffeur. I said I don't think the car will look right standing outside the tavern without a chauffeur.
Now, wait a minute. Whoa, I was hired as a waiter.
You can also be fired as a waiter. Well?
Will you be needing the car today, sir?
That's better. I'll show that Willie Gundig.
Good afternoon, sir. I'm looking for the gentleman who ordered that new limousine.
I am that millionaire.
You?
You see any other millionaires around? Come on, chauffeur. Let us go outside and take a look at the car.
Well, there she is, gentlemen, a brand new 1949.
Hot diggity.
Now, just a second, young man. Looks ain't everything. A car is like a dame. It's what's under the hood that counts. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to check the motor.
The motor? Now look, bud. This is a 1949 Cadillac.
I am not impressed by sales talk. If you don't mind, I'd like to look over the motor myself. Now, let me lift up the hood here. Uh-huh. Yep. Uh-huh.
You're looking in the trunk compartment?
Huh? What?
The motor's up at the other end of the car.
Oh! Just wanted to see if you knew your business. Now tell me, is this the model with the hydrochloride clutch?
The what?
Well, I'll try to put it simply. What is the horsepower?
It's 160.
On what basis is that computed?
Well, it's taken on the basis of 550 foot-pounds in 1 second, or 33,000 foot-pounds in 1 minute.
I'm afraid you haven't answered my question. What I'm trying to find out is, does this horsepower have Timken bearings?
I give up.
See, Eddie? I've got him stuck. Let's see here. I see they've got a new type of carburetor.
That's the horn.
Yes, this is the carburetor over here.
That's the battery?
Wait a minute. Here's a cute little gadget. Now, what does that thing do? I've never seen it.
That mixes gasoline with air to form a vapor that explodes when ejected into the cylinders?
Oh, yeah? What do they call it?
The carburetor?
You was doing better in the trunk.
Look, young man, just leave the car parked here at the curb for a few hours and I'll think it over. By the way, what's the price?
$6,000.
Uh-huh.
Only 12,000 payments and she's yours.
It's worth it, though, just to burn up that Willie Gundy. Well, look, young man, as I say, I'll think it over and we'll just leave it parked in front of the tavern for a few hours until I make up my mind.
Okay, but you don't mind if I take the keys, do you?
Not at all. Just be sure to leave the price tag on in a prominent place.
What you doing, Mr. Archie?
Hanging up some pictures. I'll show that Willie Gundig. Look at this autograph here, Eddie, huh?
Let's see. Sorry, Archie, but I'm marrying for love. Money isn't everything. Signed, Rita Hayworth.
Me, the man most likely to be a failure. Give me another tack, will you?
Here you are.
I want to hang up this map of the world. Here, how does that look, Eddie?
Let's see. To Archie, thanks for the loan. Signed, France, Italy, and Great Britain.
And it's the same Archie that was voted the most likely to be a failure. Wait till that guy gets here. Between my stockbroker, my Cadillac, and my autographs, I'll have that Willie Gundig borrowing money from me. Hey, wait a minute. This looks like him coming in now. Willie?
Archie?
Yeah.
You ain't changed a bit.
Now, I wouldn't say that. So you're Willie Gundig, the man voted most likely to succeed.
That's right, Arch. You remembered that, huh?
I certainly did.
Arch, do you remember the time...
I remember it very well.
Well, it's great to see you again, Arch.
Thank you. I noticed your letter was written on Ritz-Carlton stationery.
Yeah, that's what I was going to talk to you about.
Don't brag about it. There's a couple of autographs from guys that are doing okay, too. Did you see that limousine outside?
Yeah.
It's mine.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're doing so well, Arch. As for me...
Now, just a second. Oh, James?
Yes, my lord.
Better put the limousine in the garage and get out the convertible. It's beginning to look like rain.
Okay, boss.
James is me chauffeur, you know.
A chauffeur, huh?
Yeah. By the way, James?
Yes, sir?
When I go for my usual drive in the park today, be sure to cover me with me buffalo robe. And take care to tuck me in with the fur side towards me.
What? Why?
Well, you always keep the fur side closest to you, you know. It's warmer that way.
Uh-huh. Too bad the buffalo don't know that.
That'll be all, James. Now, Willie, enough about my fabulous success. Tell me about yourself.
Well, I'll tell you, Arch.
That Cadillac, you know, cost $6,000.
Well, this is sure a surprise, Arch. You know how I always thought you'd end up. Well, you remember what the yearbook said about you?
Leave us not bark at sleeping dogs. Now, where was we? Oh, yeah, we was talking about what a big shot you was.
Well...
Oh, excuse me a minute. Oh, stockbroker? Have we heard anything from the Secretary of the Treasury?
Yeah. He said he wants you to send in your taxes. The government needs the money.
Oh. How much is me taxes?
$500,000.
Okay. Go down to the bank and get... Hey, wait a minute. Forget the bank. Take it out of petty cash. Well, Willie, tell me, how are things with you?
Well, I...
Oh, just a second. Oh, stockbroker?
Yeah?
What's the latest on the ticker?
Oh, the doctor says not to worry. It's just gas.
My broker was slightly stunned in the crash of 29, you know. But enough about me and my sensational success. Tell me about you, Willie. How are you doing?
Well, frankly, Arch, I could use $10.
Oh, stockbroker. What did you say, Willie?
I could use $10.
You mean you're broke?
Yeah.
Well, how can you be broke and live at the Ritz-Carlton?
I don't live there. I just work there. That is, until yesterday.
Then why did you write your letter on their stationery just to look like a big shot?
Well, I can explain.
Willie, if there's anything I hate, it's a phony.
Arch, don't get sore. I just thought maybe for old time's sake, maybe you could let me have $10. It wouldn't mean anything much to a guy like you.
Well, I guess not. After all, if I can afford a $6,000 Cadillac, I guess 10 bucks ain't gonna break a man of my means. James?
Find some other millions.
You really need the 10, huh, Willie?
I sure could use it.
Okay, kid. Here you are. Here's 10 bucks.
Thanks, Arch. You're still a great guy. And if I run into any of the old gang, I'm sure gonna tell them what you did for me.
Please, just tell the ones with money. Well, it was nice to have seen you again, Willie. Sick and Hock Transit Hospice.
So long, Archie.
So long, Willie. Good old Willie. Nice guy, Eddie. I always liked him. Funny thing with that yearbook, though, huh?
What do you mean?
Well, I was the guy voted most likely to be a failure. And here he had to come to me for a lousy 10 bucks. Ain't it funny how life sometimes works out?
You've been listening to the Golden Age of Comedy, tonight's presentation on OTARP, the On the Air Radio Players Network. Golden Age of Comedy was a compilation of original radio theater and on-the-air radio player scripts. My Favorite Husband was written by Bob Carroll Jr. and Madeline Pugh and first aired on March 19, 1950. The Life of Riley was written by Alan Lipscott, Reuben Schiff, Ashmead Scott, Robert Sloan, and Dick Powell and first aired on December 8, 1950. Duffy's Tavern first aired on February 16, 1949. These plays are courtesy of genericradio.com. Your voice talents tonight were Dagny Collier, Tom Eichler, Andy Horomiak, Charlie Lawrence, John Maddox, Matt Hackman, Katie Anna Worthington, Steve Graham, Sean Graham, Emma Fulmer, and Max Fulmer. The sound effects wizards were Bob Dutton, Dagny Collier, Tom Eichler, Steve Graham, and Katie Anna Worthington. Sound recording artist was Devin Langston. Musical direction was provided by Brett Zordling. Post-production editing is provided by Brett Zordling. This show was directed by Shane Harris and produced by Mark Fulmer in conjunction with the Henrico Division of Recreation and Parks and WZEZ 100.5 FM. The next show for the on-the-air radio players will be December 2nd and 3rd, and if you'd like to try out for a part, then come to the audition Sunday, October 26th and Monday, October 27th, being held here at the Glen Allen Cultural Arts Center at 7 p.m. The on-the-air radio players would like to thank you for coming out tonight. Be safe and good night.